Buenos días.
Buenos días.
Well, they are familiar at least with buenos días. It's interesting that if you pay attention in the first reading today, the opposite happened of on the day of Pentecost. In the Babel Tower, everybody, you know, they were speaking, understand each other and God, what he did. They stopped understanding each other and confused them because they are trying to be like God. In the day of Pentecost, they were understanding each other, and if you pay attention to the text, they were several nations. Represented, and they understood each other. I think there is a very good message behind this for us today. And also it reminds me, and I will start, I guess I already started, but are you familiar with the Great Commission? I guess so. I know that I'll be reading later when I commission the three people that end or finish the Stephen's ministry process to guide a small group. And I will be reading the same words here. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. How? Could you answer me? How Mount Moriah Lutheran Church could reach out to all nations? From Bayonne, Minnesota. Have you thought about that before? This word is for me, correct? It's for you too, correct? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Ah, Pastor, but I don't speak Spanish. Or I don't speak the language or the tongue that some of the people at God is Great Lutheran Church in Loma Provice speaks. For many of those people there, Spanish is not the first language either. It's a second language. Kuna is their first language. So the Lord now is giving the opportunity for you as a church to fulfill this Great Commission. Not, there is, I think, no better opportunity or time to talk about it. Today is the day that we can reflect a little bit about what the Lord has done. And it's amazing, from this Great Commission, the Gospel of God to Panama. I know they worship in a little different way than we worship, but still they celebrate, they honor, and they believe in the God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And about this Holy Spirit, I would like to talk today a little bit more based on the text of St. John chapter 14. And I was thinking, how this related with Panama? Because this is one of the reasons I came here, to encourage you with God's Word. To think, consider prayerfully to follow up what your church has done last year. And I was on the trip. There are two fellow brothers here, the pastor and I forget.
Chuck.
Yes, they were there. I confused him a little bit. I drive them a little nuts there too because I feel very much comforted there because somehow I am related with that culture because I'm Latino too. Even though I look pretty much like you, but I'm not from U.S. And we as a church was called also to bring peace. And it is possible in our world today, it's possible for me, for you, for Mount Moriah to bring peace. The answer is twofold, yes and no. And I don't want to try to bring confusion here. I want to encourage you with that. But our Lord himself said that there would be wars and rumors of wars until he returns in the last day. Correct? It's clear. And the scripture says about that. And earthly, physical peace is impossible. There never will be. But spiritually, our loving Lord graciously gives us peace for our troubled souls. It is this divine peace that we want to close and examine today's verse. And I would like to start also with a blessing from God concerning peace for us. And if you have your Bibles, you can look for. If you don't, just listen. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Know that God's peace is described as going beyond or surpassing all human understanding. We are humans. We think temporarily. Eternal things belongs to the Lord. We do the possible and let the Lord do the impossible. It also includes the challenges that we have in front of us as a church. Prayerfully, today's text will help me and help you, I hope, to come to a better understanding of what God's peace means to each of our lives today. Do you feel peace? Do you think that you have peace in your daily life? I'm talking about P-E-A-C-E, because sometimes the way I pronounce peace sounds different, but I'm thinking about peace. Jesus' promise provides peace. Peace to those who love God's teaching. Where we can find God's teaching. Why we are here as a church. Why we gather together as a church around the Word. Today I don't think so there will be a baptism, but you have a fountain on an entrance, but today we'll celebrate the Holy Communion. But let's think a little bit about the words, the teachings that bring peace. The setting of today's word is important. Jesus speaks to his disciples shortly before his crucifixion. If you want to learn more, I challenge you, not now when you go home, read a little bit John 14, 15, 16 to the end of the book and a little bit before that. Jesus, you know, he spoke to his disciples a little before he would be crucified. The disciples asked Jesus why they were privileged to see God's glory but not the world. Jesus answered verse 23, those who love God's word and teachings will see his glory. Do you love God's words? The disciples had given up much in their lives, as like many of us. When we experience a little success in our life, we give up, especially with earthly things, not counting with God's things, because we don't see the results. Things from the Lord that he promised, we don't see the results in our time, in God's time. So the disciples had given up much in their lives because they were following Jesus. Now the Father living them by faith. Why do some not see God's glory? Or glory? Verse 24, the first part says that some rejected Christ. They did not love Jesus. In the Bible text, they said, and I need to come back there, Jesus was very clear in his words to those disciples that were listening to him. He says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. I still can reject, deny the Lord as I go, as I live, but God's word is still be preached for me every day. Rejectors will not obey Jesus' teaching. This is clear. Nor see God's glory. There was more for these 11. And in verse 24, Jesus reminds his disciples that he is the very Son of God. His words. God's. Jesus wanted to prepare his disciples for the next few days. Betrayal, arrest, crucifixion, the tomb. Verse 27, Jesus gives his disciples God's peace. How can I give peace, but I know that later on all these troubled things would happen with him? The world could not offer this divine peace. The disciples had nothing to fear. Their hearts were to be at peace. It would take some more time from them. But remember, God's word, actually Jesus Christ was saying this word to his disciples. And the same word has value to me today and to you. It may sound strange to us that some do not love the Lord. I still have some empty pews here. There are some who do not care at all about the teachings of God. And I must say, even some people that frequent every Sunday the church sound rash, but it's the truth. Like the disciples, we ask the eternal question, why? Everyone wants to go to heaven, correct? I want. I don't doubt to say that. You know, who believes and will be and is baptized will be saved. So the doubt is a very bad thing too. Because if I am baptized, I'm saved, as Peter says. But why is the great question? Everyone wants to go to heaven, but not everyone desires to hear God's word to learn how to get there. Unfortunately, it is the reality. Not everyone is excited to worship at the church or study God's Bible, or to participate, to attend a study Bible. Why? This rejection of God's law and teachings begin with our birth. We have to go to the beginning. We need to go to the basics. From the moment of conception, we are sinful. As a Lutheran, I guess, many of you grew up in the church. Since the catechism, I assume you heard that. Sinners are opposed to everything divine. Sinners are God's enemies. Our sinful nature does not want to seek out God. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who you kill the prophets and stone those sent to you. How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you are not willing. Matthew 23, 37. Every day our Lord loves and wants to gather us under his protective care. This truly is true peace. It's more. Have you heard before that we are living in a time of grace? Not the person grace, but the time of grace. Last week we celebrate Ascension, correct? When the Lord, after resurrect, go to heaven. He sent his Holy Spirit today as a church, as a Christian church. We are celebrating that. But until he comes for the second time, his word, his sacraments will be offered. He, in his mercy and grace, will be offering his words, his teachings, his scriptures to me, to you, to all the humankind. many people will have a chance to listen these words that is salvific words. That we think that will take me to a place that many of fellow relatives, friends are there celebrating already because they have Jesus. And we are waiting for our time as well. And this is only God's words. God's word can bring. But praise God for the gift of Jesus Christ, His Son, our Savior. Jesus promised peace. And today, the gospel of today was very clear. Jesus provides peace. Our sins pile up every day, correct? We can't even describe those. That's why when you confess our sins here, we don't name on them. There is no paper. There will be more than an hour just to describe those. And you'll have only an hour for the entire worship. But just to describe how many sins we daily, perhaps even in a minute we do it, it's a lot. So we do not deserve to come before the cross of Christ with our sinful baggage. We are not worthy to come before God's throne of grace seeking His love. We are not. And forgiveness. But, a big but, that is exactly what the believer is invited to do. A believer in Jesus Christ, because today, if I'm a believer, but what believer? You believe, people believe in so many things today, we need to be clear with that. Those that believe in Jesus Christ are invited, you know, to do. We have God's peace. This peace is undeserved. It is a peace that we cannot earn. It is God's free gift to us and for us. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Romans 5, 1 and 2. We are saved by grace. It's like, perhaps, we are celebrating a birthday of somebody or Christmas. We buy gifts, and you give somebody, correct? Do you think that each person, the gift that you give, they deserve that gift? Why do you give that gift? United States, you know, one of the biggest spending is during the Christmas time. People buy lots of gifts. Why they do that? Because the people that are receiving deserve it. Why do you call gift? It's the same as when Jesus Christ died on the cross. He did because we didn't deserve it, but His love was so big that we couldn't and can't understand. He gave and gave to us because He knew, and God knew, that we cannot do anything. Heaven forbid that you or I or anyone else might think that we can buy our way into heaven. The psalmist reminds us the price of a soul is too costly. No man can redeem the life of another. Once again, our loving Lord and Savior Jesus Christ promised and provides divine peace. And I would like to quote another Bible text here. But He has pierced for our transgressions. He has crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. And by His wounds we were healed. Isaiah 53:5. Our sins are paid. Are paid for. God's peace is ours. We are free. So, Jesus' promise provides peace to all who love God's teachings. And I must And I want to believe that each of you love God's teachings. But also, this peace is with the power of the Holy Spirit. In the verse, Jesus' words are meant for the comfort and encouragement of his disciples. And this is more applicable now to you because it's the entire reason I came here too. This also will encourage and comfort you. Verse 25, Jesus would soon leave them when he is crucified and is laid on the tomb. Poor guys. 12 guys for 3 years with his master being encouraged, listen, teaching, and demonstrate how to share God's word, and then I'm going. Think about you as a father or a mother. You don't spend only 3 years with your kids, except if the Lord called them before, or you. But think about it. You spend 18 years, today the things change, you know? Kids are staying 23, 24, 25 at home with the parents. But still you care for them and encourage them, and to cut the umbilical cord and to let them go, release them go, is hard. I understand it even more now, having my own children. But think about these disciples. They were prepared and meant to be like that. Carry on Jesus' teachings to the world. The gospel from there came to the United States. The gospel from there arrived too in Panama. How about other areas in the world? Even though they don't use the same words or the same language, still they are worshiping. Oh, by the way, Jesus didn't speak English either. Or did. Some people depend, I heard before, you know, if you want to go to heaven, you have to speak Portuguese. I don't think so. But English either. The most important is to believe that Jesus Christ is our Savior and Lord. So, they were encouraged to keep and move forward. And in verse 28, Jesus had often told the disciples that he would be put to death and raised again. Man, could be frightening, huh? To hear that my master will suffer this and I have to carry on this message into the world. There was still some misunderstanding by the disciples, and even in verse 28, the disciples were unhappy. Think about the master. Was with him? And they have doubt. Not a surprise. When we say, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, and you get unhappy too. Because you're not with the master. We are just listening to his words. I'm not Jesus. PJ is not Jesus either. Perhaps you have heard from other apostles. But the word is still the same. It has the same power as it had 2,000 years ago. Not only would Jesus live, but he would also return after his resurrection. And it's again, come here, the comfort and encouragement. Jesus stands here with human flesh, hiding his divinity. He was a human telling these things to him. His flesh would bleed and die. At this moment, the humanity of Jesus means his Father is greater. God would not bleed or die. Jesus was preparing his disciples for his death and resurrection. Verse 29. And going back to the verse 26, Jesus promised the Holy Spirit, whom the Father would send. Jesus would ascend. And we celebrated this. The Christian church celebrated this moment too. On the Pentecost, the disciples received this special outpouring of the Holy Spirit to understand it. And I hope with the help of God, with his word, you understand as well. Don't be discouraged if your church, man, I will give up this. Don't be discouraged if you have a challenge bigger than you can even imagine. If the Lord and his promises is with you, why I don't trust in his words? That he is a provider, that he will make things happen, conquer our fears, and encourage you to fulfill the Great Commission and support in some level a fellow sister church that preaches the gospel in a different environment. Jesus was preparing his disciples for his death and resurrection. We also was giving this message for us also here, you know, preparing ourselves and others for his death and resurrection. On the Pentecost, the disciples received the special pouring for the Holy Spirit and understanding. Today we are celebrating the birth of the church. Unfortunately, we don't have a cake here. We could even sing that, but you know, meaningful, it is what it's happened. Not this church, but the church in the world. Today we are reminded that the Holy Spirit is God. Jesus, who was the Son of Man, is also God. God the Father is God. And then I have a little doctrinal thing here because I think it's important to mention. There are three persons, but only one God. I guess you have heard that. You don't find in the scripture any word, Trinity word, but we know that there are one God that manifests in three different ways. We say three persons, or three people. What that means, our God is triune, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Each of them has unique functions in the Trinity. Scripture teaches this truth throughout its pages. It is only God's grace that we believe these teachings of the Bible. This is the deal. We can't understand how our God can be a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We understand by faith. And when you go to the field or the arena of faith, there is no understanding. We try to rationalize that, but it's by faith. One only way I see that perhaps I can understand faith is when I say, I believe. But faith is true and full and completely and only God's word. God's gift. Still the belief, I have some participation. But faith is only from God to us. So by faith, I believe in the triune God that manifests in these three ways. And it's only God's grace that we believe these teachings of the Bible. It is the Holy Spirit who changes our hearts of stone into our of flesh. The Holy Spirit works saving faith in our lives. And this is very important. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Perhaps you have heard that some churches, after the preaching, the pastor go to the center somewhere and say, do you want to believe, do you want to accept God? Have you heard that? Have you, any, you know, who wants to accept? And you keep asking. Until somebody stand up and then come here. Who else? Sometimes you have trouble to understand or even accept that because we believe that faith is a gift from God, correct? We preach, we sow the seed, the Lord do the rest. It's not upon me. They have power. I believe that those people that stand and came is because the Holy Spirit worked on them. If it's true that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit, how can I say that this is a decision of somebody? Especially after preaching. Is it works for you too? If you are here today, it's because the Holy Spirit works in your heart. And I hope next Sunday, and next Sunday, and next Sunday, and next Sunday, until the Lord calls you. And I'm sure there are others that didn't come today, but the Lord can use you too to remind them that they are loved by Him. And He wants them here. Doesn't matter what happens. Jesus is still our Savior and Lord, and He wants everybody. And without the Holy Spirit, would be faithless, would be lost. Can you imagine that? We praise the Lord that our eternal salvation does not depend on our choice or on us. In today's gospel, Jesus stated that the disciples did not choose him, but he chose them. Our eternal salvation is too important to be determined by our decision or choice. Consider Adam and Eve. They lived in a perfect world. If you wanted to understand a little bit in our minds how the heaven would be, go to Genesis before the chapter 3, before they fall. It still is a concrete world, but was perfection by then. They lived in a perfect world. They still made the wrong choice. Think about it. God takes the responsibility for our eternal welfare upon himself, making our salvation his responsibility. And praise the Lord that is that, because we judge so bad that many people be in hell right now, if it depended on us, on us to save somebody. God saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Remember in the beginning I said that we have seen that since we were born, we were born sinful. But that's why I also baptized, because what's the word you use in English? You get the old man and what? And who comes? The new man. It is what actually happens in the baptism. So he saved us through washing of rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, Titus 3. 5 or 6. Hang on a little bit, I know, because the time is passing and I know time is important, but I have to finish something here. Jesus promised peace to me and to you, correct? His word is very clear. Jesus provides peace for our soul by his death and resurrection. Our sins are forgiven. This is declared. Don't doubt about it. This is his word declared. If he died on the cross and we are forgiven, this is true. We don't need to have a doubt. And also live by that. But we don't stay, we didn't stop on a crucifixion. He raised from the dead. We celebrate Easter this year. He was taken dead from the cross, put in a tomb, dead, and from the dead tomb, he raised. For me and for you, one day raised also. That is true peace for our troubled souls. True, there is and always will be trouble and difficulties in his life. And I'll give a real example. Think about these two hands, your hands, but you can look at yours if you want. And this one is the pain, the trouble, the dislikes, everything bad that you can imagine and describe in your personal life. Sickness, disappointments, divorce, everything that you can even imagine. But here is the grace, the loving God, okay? His mercy, his grace, everything good that he can offer. This together, make us to keep moving. And this is the way that the Christian walks. I bring to him all the bad things. And sometimes when we challenge people to pray, I don't have the words. The Lord doesn't care what words to use. Go to the Psalms. Read the entire 150 Psalms. They didn't use nice words there. They were very, sometimes the psalmist is very angry. But he spelled out to the Lord. I don't know what was the context, if he was in private or in public, but the cert is the words, if I read the psalm, and you can read if you haven't, they are very strong words.
They just spell out to the Lord because He is God and He can handle. I can't. I'm human, but He can. That's why we walk this way with your two hands gathered and pray. And I don't know how about your prayer life, but He is also invite you as a Christian this day of Pentecost to walk this way. Because He wants to listen to you and He wants to have a dialogue with you. And He has a dialogue with you because He speaks to me and to you through His words. But He also expects and motivates and encourages me to speak Him back. So, true, there is and always will be trouble and difficulties in this life. We will face troubled times. We are tempted to throw up our hands in despair. And even, why should I pray if He doesn't listen? It's wrong. He listens 24/7. We challenge God wondering when enough is enough. We may even ask why. Looking carefully, we often discover that our troubled life centers mainly in our earthly concerns. And we try to bring peace looking to the things of this world. And it's wrong. To whom should we look? To Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and said, I am with you. And as you go, here in Byron or wherever you live, and if you go further, I am with you. And His promise is clear. Spiritually speaking, our souls ought to always to be at peace, right? This is God's great blessing to us. Because you are Son, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out Abba Father. Galatians 4:6. You still have a soul that is troubled? Cry to the Lord, Father, Father. The Holy Spirit leads you to love God's teachings. Remember, this is the way that we walk. We have somebody that encourages. My mom, my dad, my kids, they can disappoint me. Even a one-year-old. Even younger. But the Lord never will disappoint me. Our Savior Jesus promised peace. More than that, our Savior Jesus provides eternal peace. This world has no peace to offer. The world makes many, many promises. The world also breaks all of those promises. God's peace is real. The promise that our loving Lord makes, He always keeps. Our promise we don't keep, but the Lord keeps His. We have another prayer blessing of the Lord. Let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. It's hard to be thankful in troubled times. It's hard, but there is somebody that can encourage me to move forward. Thankful lives are faithful lives that are at peace with God. Jesus' promise provides peace. And I hope, and this is my prayer, that you can share this peace with each other, this true peace with your neighbor, and if the Lord, you know, when challenge us, you know, feel uncomfortable, always like that. You can also go beyond the boundaries of Byron or Rochester or even Minnesota. You know. But always we have opportunities to engage with others in mission. And your church is not different. Doesn't matter the size of your church. What matters is Jesus Christ and encouragement that you give for you from now on. Amen? I will give this to him this morning.
All right, thank you, Miguel. And Rise, the professor of faith, clarifying God's words of the Nicene Creed, printed out on page 8. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only God, Son of God, begotten of His Father.
crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended to heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father.
And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end.
And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen. We see that as we worship the Lord with our offering.